Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon to you. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sean Carey here, and Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our Monday edition of the show, always brought to you by Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. Now we've passed the middle of the year. We're into summertime. You hear more about accidents these days. An occasional fire in the newscast, and you don't want anything like that happening to you. But if something like that were to occur, you want to make sure you have the right coverage at the right price. And that's where Purdy will go to bat for you. They will customize a policy for your needs and budget. And if something like that were to ever happen, they will act like it happened to them. And that's who you need in your corner. Get in touch with PurdyInsurance.com or stop by their office on Market Street in Sunbury, PurdyInsurance.com. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us here at the show. 1-800-795-9565. Our email, SteveJones@WKOK.com. Also like us on Facebook, Twitter handle at SteveJonesPSU. We'll be talking Penn State football today with Frank Bodani. The York Daily Record, Lift for Life, occurred over the weekend. And what's our countdown now? I want to say something like, was it like 47 days? Something like 47 days to the start of Penn State football season. Of course, all the action here on WKOK with Steve and Jack Hamm and Roger Corey. Looking forward to it very much. It'll be here, especially now that we're past Live for Life. It'll be here before we know it, a couple of weeks away from the guys getting their practices on with head coach James Franklin. Lots of other guests we have lined up for the rest of the week here on WKOK. John U. Bacon, the accredited author, he has joined us on numerous occasions over the years, and he, right before the passing of ESPN's John Saunders last year, John U. Bacon was working on a book with John Saunders, so we will have John scheduled to join us tomorrow. Also, later on in the week, we will have Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. We usually have Tony on about every month and a half, 2 months, and get an update on the business angle of sports. We'll have that on with Tony. Last week here on the show, speaking of the business angle of sports, we found an article in Forbes magazine, and it listed the most valuable sports franchises in the world. And that was according to Forbes magazine. And the gentleman that wrote that column is Kurt Badenhausen, and he is the sports business writer for Forbes. We are going to have him on Thursday. Look forward to that. And we'll also have some baseball talk on Friday. Bob Nightingale from USA Today. We have him lined up for Friday, just in time for the weekend. Of course, Kevin Jones, Steve's brother, will check in from Connecticut. That's how we wrap up the show, the week's worth of shows, of course. We will not have a show on Wednesday because of Phillies baseball. Phillies have a matinee matchup down in Miami just after 12 noon on Wednesday here at WKOK, so a no show with us on Wednesday. And yes, the Phillies do start a series with Miami coming up tonight here on WKOK. 7:10 be first pitch tonight. Jared Eichhoff. Be on the mound tonight for the Fightins.
Well, they won yesterday over the Brewers, a rare Milwaukee loss. All right, this is day one, by the way. All right, for me, and the transportation issue. You know about the transportation issue? As you know, State College, anybody who's been here, 75% of the town is under construction.
I was going to say, now that Arts Fest is in the rear view mirror, I figured you'd be in the clear for a while.
No. On Branch Road, which I have to use to get to the Sunbury Motors Studio, there are three bridges from Atherton Street over. Now, one goes over Route 322. Yeah, that bridge's been there forever. Remember, 3 years ago, they did construction on one bridge? Well, the other bridge that's next to Center Hills Country Club? Hey, they tore that one down today. Now, we've known about it for about a month.
That was the next thing I was going to ask you. It's like, man, did that come out of left field?
No. I mean, we've known for... They did the other bridge 3 years ago. And the thought process was, look, okay, next year we'll do the next one. Well, they didn't. And then the year after, they didn't. Well, now they're finally going to do it. Now it's going to be under construction for 6 weeks. So the trip to the Sunbury Motor Studio is a bit more roundabout.
Scenic route-esque.
Let me put it this way. On this particular route that I took today, I was a lot closer to Beaver Stadium than I ever had been. And worked my way in from that direction.
Well, you shared with me a whole bunch of shortcuts that you know, like the back of your hand between your place and how to get to the stadium and the Jordan Center.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Shortcut? I mean, I've got all sorts of shortcuts there.
You do.
But when it comes to getting from where I always am before 3 o'clock to here, it is the must route is you must take Branch Road. Well, I'm not Spider-Man, so I can't get over the this bridge.
So now you must take Route B.
Well, the last time we did this 3 years ago, I tried this. A few different ways. Now, I do have another way I could potentially try. Maybe I'll try that tomorrow. See how it goes.
Or since we don't have a show on Wednesday, you can do a dry run on Wednesday and see how that works.
Oh, I've been doing all sorts of dry runs. My life's a dry run. I hope everybody had a great time at Live for Life on Saturday. They raised over $90,000. They raised over $90,000. They did really well with that. Really well. It's between $90,000 and $100,000, I believe, they raised just from Saturday. The attendance was great. And seeing all those people there, it's great. I had a great time talking with as many people as possible. And, you know, you think about it, in the same week, the football players went down to Children's Hospital at the Hershey Medical Center. And then they turned around 48 hours later, and they're doing Lift for Life to benefit kidney cancer research. That's all in a week. And that's impressive. And that's a week of making sure you do something for somebody else. And I give them all the credit in the world, because a college education needs to be a well-rounded one, in my opinion. And if you're in athletics, the education has to be book smart, community service smart, socially responsible smart, discipline smart, because you can't succeed in your sport without it, and also teamwork smart. I mean, those are all the things that idealistically a student athlete should get out of their college education. Book smart, discipline smart, community responsible smart, socially responsible smart, teamwork smart. I mean, it helps develop all of those skills. And to see them do that in 1 week, where you go to Hershey and you spend time at Children's Hospital, and the people of our area here in the Valley know all about this, because a lot of you have spent your time volunteering or helping out at Janet Weiss over at Geisinger. And Janet Weiss, like Hershey, is outstanding. And my family has benefited from both over the years. My family has benefited from the great work at Hershey and at Janet Weiss. I will say, you've heard me say this before flat out, but Janet Weiss Children's Hospital, Geisinger, saved my son Christopher's life. Saved him. Now, you know, never forget the long 4 a.m., 4:30 a.m. talk about, you got to be prepared here. And those skilled individuals at Janet Weiss got him back. And so when I see the players taking time to go down to Hershey, which is Penn State's teaching hospital, and spending time with the children there, because I've spent, believe me, enough time in my life going to Hershey Children's Hospital, going to Janet Weiss, going to Boston Children's Hospital. So I understand it, and I also understand what it means to have these guys show up. I know one day I was at Boston Children's, and Denny Hamlin, now he didn't come in and see our family, blew us off, he's a loser. No, I'm just kidding. When I remember being there one day, and Denny Hamlin came in because they were going to be racing at New Hampshire. And Hamlin just won New Hampshire yesterday, wasn't it? Yesterday or Saturday? Didn't he just win New Hampshire? Well, a few years ago, he came in and spent time going room to room with as many children as possible. It meant everything to him that he came by and did that. It meant everything. You know, it's just that little pick-me-up. And that's what these athletes were doing. I mean, you don't think a youngster struggling through something and a family struggling through something, and all of a sudden Saquon Barkley walks in the door? I mean, that's the kind of, wow, I needed that at that moment in my life kind of thing. It lifts everybody's spirits, and it also lifts the spirits of the players. But again, within a 48-hour span, they took the time as a team, the entire team, going down to Hershey, and then 48 hours later, they all participated in Lift for Life, raising whatever money they can. Now, this is the 15th year of it, and they have changed over. Remember what the original premise of this was. The original premise was that Scott Shirley, Dave Coslow, and Damone Jones all had fathers with kidney cancer. Now, kidney cancer is a rare disease. And then it turned out, now these are the three people that got it going. It also turned out, unbeknownst to them, when they started it, then found out immediately that Darian Hardy, his father, had kidney cancer. So you have 105 players on a base roster. Four of them, which is higher than exponentially higher than the national percentage, had fathers with kidney cancer. So they started this. And what's impressed me over the years is that there's been, obviously, dramatic changes in the roster. It happens all the time in college football and in college basketball. That's the name of the game. And with all the changes they've made, you know, the original leadership group is gone. They've passed the baton to the next leadership group. It passes to the next group, to the next group, to the next group. And now you've got a leadership group for example, is led by Trace McSorley. And it's great that they throw as much passion into this as they do now, just like they did back then, even though I believe there's not one player on the team right now, I believe, that is anyone that they know that has kidney cancer. And when it's not as personal and to still do it with that kind of passion, that's pretty special. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're going to have Neil Coulong on the show next half hour. Talk about the Le'Veon Bell situation being franchise tagged. And they can negotiate a contract till 4 this afternoon. Neil will tell us the odds. What do you think the odds are?
They'll keep the tag on him, and they will pay him the $12.1 million for sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if you're going to lay money on, who's going to get a long term deal first, Le'Veon Bell or Kirk Cousins? I think it's advantage push, and neither one will get a long term deal before
right, exactly.
4 o'clock Eastern.
I'm going to talk to Neil about that at 3:35. All right, get that rolling today.
Okay.
So we got that coming up.
Frank Bodani as well.
Frank Bodani today. We'll talk to Frank at 4:06 today.
Perfect.
I asked you during the break to do something.
Yes.
And the assignment, I asked him to say, scroll back up. Because when I went on our Facebook page over the weekend, for whatever reason, this photo came up right away. And Craig Folk, he played great that day, Craig did. Chief played great that day. And so on one of the holes, I don't know, was it the par 3 hole? Whatever, he took a picture of it.
Yeah, and the scramble that morning at the Purdy tournament, I believe we started on the 4th hole. And this is either 3rd or 4th hole. Looks like this was the hole number 6. I remember Chief had a great putt. The ball started was on a,
yeah.
You know, the hole was the cup was kind of on a little bit of a hill. Ball kind of skirted back in the other direction and went right into the cup. And I figured, hey guys, let's take a photo. Pretty cool moment here. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Craig standing there, Chief standing on there, and of course the suit.
Yes.
So I asked you to look at the photo and what stuck out to you.
No, I was looking at it. I was trying too hard, and it looks like the suit isn't holding a putter.
No. If you look at it, Craig, the Chief, and I are standing together like friends and teammates. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Who appears separated from the group and standoffish?
Oh, yeah. I'm noticing that, too. That'd be the suit.
I don't get this.
I kind of remember when I got you guys lined up for the shot. I was like, Kevin, can you get in the shot for me?
Can't you be one of the gang? Man, I know you're in this super high-profile sales position where you feel like you're paying all our salaries. But come on, you can be one of us.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades, and there's a simple reason why you stay in business as long as they have. Because they've passed it from one professional to the next, and they've understood the entire time what's the most important item on any checklist. The customer comes first. So they want to find you the right insurance so you're covered. They then want to find you the best price on that coverage. And then they want to update you whenever possible. And if something happens to you, they jump right in there and act as if it happened to them because they're your partner in this. I want to make sure that you get exactly the settlement you need. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This day in sports history, then Neil Coulong, as we discuss the situation between the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell, which we're counting down now 24 minutes until franchise tag. 1941, the longest hitting streak ended when the Cleveland Indians pitchers held Joe DiMaggio hitless for the first time in 57 games. The streak began on May 15th, 1941. It went 56 games and ended on this date in 1941. Now, here's the irony. Do you know what DiMaggio did after the streak was stopped? He then went on a 16-game hitting streak. Ken Keltner made a couple of incredible plays based on what you read in that game that prevented hits for DiMaggio. In fact, may have prevented extra base hits. Say he misses one of those plays or doesn't quite come up with it. He could have ended up with a 73-game hitting streak. Amazing. 1954, the Brooklyn Dodgers made history as the first team with a majority of black players. And in 1994, Brazil won a record 4th World Cup in soccer. They beat Italy 3-2 on penalty kicks. There is nothing like penalty kicks. In fact, you know what? I see penalty kicks. And I say to myself sometimes, why don't we just start the game with that? Why? You're a big soccer guy. You don't like that idea, do you?
Yeah, the penalty kicks, it's kind of anticlimactic. But I will admit, further along the World Cup you go, I mean, the tension during the penalty kicks is pretty intense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. All right.
But not my choice to end a game, for sure.
Oh, no. You'd rather sit there for hours. All right. So, somewhere in the 160th minute, even you'd be begging for penalty kicks. Well, somebody, just do penalty kicks. I want to go home.
And to fast forward. Oh, wait, I didn't DVR this. Oh, it's live. I can't fast forward it.
I can't do it. Can't do it. All right. Le'Veon Bell franchise tagged. They have between now and 4 o'clock, by the way, to give him a long-term deal. With that, we bring in the prince of long-term deals with this broadcast facility, Neil Coulong. Neil, it's been a while. Welcome back.
Back into the swing of actually working.
There you go. I feel like I've ruined your day.
Yep. Well, you can blame Le'Veon Bell for that. I think it's more his fault.
Yeah, here we go. Coming up to the deadline, you and I both know zero's going to get done. That's safe to say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I honestly think we have literally the exact same conversation this time next year, in fact. The running back position in the NFL, it's so hard to really project, you know, even 3 years down the line for any player. And granted, that's kind of a stretch for any NFL player. But when you're talking about, probably the best all-around running back in the game, a high-value player for sure. But the added caveat with Bell is the fact that he's looking at, he's one failed or skipped test away from a year-long suspension. He's been injured. It's really hard to guarantee him money long-term. So I honestly think this is a back-to-back tag situation. I think the Steelers know that.
All right, I mean, and what about him? Do you think he knows it?
Knowing him, I'm not sure if he quite realizes that. But financially speaking, it's kind of interesting because it's almost like Bell might be better off signing like a 2-year contract for maybe, you know, just under what the tag would give him, just to have that security, if he can get the guaranteed money up front, but just be open with the fact that the team has leverage over you, you may as well get the guaranteed money up front as opposed to having to wait next year for a second tag, which would give him a little bit of a raise. I wouldn't be surprised if they do strike a deal, which I think is highly unlikely here in the next 2 hours. My guess would be it would be like a 2-year kind of contract, which really would be kind of the value of consecutive tags. I think that's the only thing he would sign right now. And from his perspective, I'm not sure if that's in his best interest either. So I wouldn't be surprised if you start hearing trade talks coming around it, just because he's going to want to be paid as the top running back in the game. And I don't think many teams want to have the top paid running back on their team unless they have just an absolute glut of salary cap space, which a couple teams out there do.
In reality, what is his leverage?
Yeah, he doesn't really have any except for skipping training camp, which, you know, I don't think that really it doesn't benefit anybody. The Steelers have had examples in the past of those situations, but obviously none with the new CBA in play, and I think only Hines Ward was the one in which the franchise tag was in play. So he doesn't really have much to go on at this point. I don't blame him for not signing his tag to this point, because that really is the only leverage he has, but that expires at 4 p.m. So if he wants to get anything done, I think it's going to have to be kind of a team-friendly deal. The Steelers are, you know, they have an excellent example of a team-friendly deal in recent memory with Antonio Brown. I wouldn't be surprised if AB might have mentioned something about that to Bell. You know, don't take something short. You got to do a lot to get back to, you know, becoming one of the highest paid players in the game, which at this point in his career, he definitely earned.
Ben Roethlisberger is currently the 8th highest paid quarterback in the game at just over $21 million. He has 3 years to go in that deal. Domino effect, what if anything, does his contract do to the Steelers' flexibility in any contract, regardless of whether it's Bell or somebody else?
Yeah, this is really the interesting thing with the new CBA, and it's something that is going to spell itself out here over time. The teams that don't have that high-paid quarterback and can still get a good amount of production from him are going to be in the driver's seat to do a lot of things with other positions and really kind of create a very dominant, balanced team. And I'll give you two examples of that. One, the Baltimore Ravens in 2013, the year they won the Super Bowl, because they weren't paying Joe Flacco really anything. A very, very rare situation in which a franchise quarterback went into the final year of his rookie contract on that salary. They were able to go out and sign a really kind of marquee players that other teams wouldn't be able to afford. With the fullback that they signed that year, they're paying him $3 million to play 10 snaps a game, but 10 very valuable, you know, move the chain kinds of snaps.
Right.
They did the same thing with Bryant McKinney. They had a need at left tackle. They were able to bring him in on kind of a, you know, make a break deal for him, overpay him and rest him, not even play him until the playoffs. And all of a sudden they had this dominant offensive line and they made a run through to the Super Bowl. What I would say right now, two teams that are really lining themselves up for that are the Tennessee Titans and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've got two outstanding young quarterbacks who are getting better and better, and they're able to spend on you know, other premium players because they don't have to pay the quarterback that much. You know, Indianapolis window Andrew Luck just stopped with that, as you know, possibly the Raiders did as well with Derek Carr. Now with Mariota and Winston in Tennessee and Tampa Bay, they have the opportunity to go out and get you know, really be players in free agency, getting guys like DeSean Jackson, paying them a bunch of money really to serve as one role. They can afford to do that. So in the Steelers' case, with Ben locked up as long as they have, it's taken them a bit to kind of get out of the salary cap troubles that they had the earlier part of the decade, and they've put themselves into a great position. But yeah, it's going to be a year-to-year struggle for them, and they're probably going to have to lose a player or two, like everybody does when they have that high-level quarterback signed.
Well, as you and I have talked about in the past, Neil, the Russell Wilson situation helped win them a Super Bowl, because as a third-round pick, his contract gave them all sorts of roster flexibility and free agent flexibility, which they then lost when they finally had to pay him, which obviously you and I both know they had to pay him.
Yep, that window, it shrinks for every single team. That's why I point out, you're really going to be surprised with Tennessee. I think they're going to be a sleeper team this year. And a lot of it is going to be due to the rare example of a team that's really active in free agency, bringing players in, paying them perhaps, maybe a little bit over market even, to play roles for them because they have a cheap quarterback. They have a window that's open now to try to really build up depth around the roster and pay out at some positions that perhaps you don't normally pay all that much for, or at least you really try to build through the draft. I think they've done an excellent job of trying to capitalize on that window over the next 2 years. I wouldn't be surprised if they're a 10-win team this year. They're really, really talented. They have perhaps the best offensive line in the game, and Mariota is playing great football. He's only going to get better, and they still have a ton of cap space to do whatever they might need to do next year if they want to really position themselves to make a run at it. It's a huge weapon in the NFL that rookie quarterback, the ones that play well, and we haven't seen necessarily a ton of them, but the ones who have panned out are really paying big dividends for their teams.
Which then brings us to Kirk Cousins. Cousins under this would get $23.9 million to be franchised this year. You and I both know that there's, 18 to 20 good quarterbacks in the league. Cousins is good, not great. Cousins is good, not mediocre. First of all, do you find that to be a fair statement? And then how do you think that thing eventually plays out in Washington?
Cousins is interesting. He really is kind of a game-to-game guy. When I was watching him in the Monday night game against Green Bay, he absolutely shellacked that team in the second half. He was on fire. He was unstoppable. You see that high-level potential in him, and he's done that. Plus, now he's got a lot of experience behind him. It's a developing offense in Washington. They struggled a bit, and he's gone through the progressions very much again, like Flacco did in his career. I think Cousins is better than Flacco is, and you look at the contract that Flacco now has. Really, the difference is talent versus one playoff run that Cousins hasn't had yet. But what he's getting now truly is the market value for an experienced quarterback that's shown some proficiency. Is he going to win the MVP this year? I don't think so. I would be royally surprised if he built a ton onto the stats that he's already put out. But bottom line, if you want to even make the playoffs, you have to have a quarterback like that. You can't have, as we've seen, Blake Bortles. You can't have starting quarterback du jour in New York for the Jets. Right. You have to have a guy that can play at least to that level, and that's what they cost. So for Cousins, it seems to me more like he wants to get out of Washington more than anything else. He hasn't really demanded a trade or anything. He's happy to take a one-year contract at a very high price, and if Washington can afford it, they're going to try to work on something, but it really doesn't sound like Cousins is all that interested in staying.
Yeah, between Kirk Cousins and Josh Norman, don't the Redskins have net like $42, $43 million a year tied up in two guys?
They're paying out quite a bit for two marquee players, that's for sure. And to their credit, one, they've got a lot of young talent there that they're developing. I think Jay Gruden's done a good job rebuilding an offense that was really just kind of decimated from the Shanahan era there. He's done well with that. They have a competitive team if they can get some defensive players over there, and it looks like they've kind of worked on that over the last 2 years. I think they could be a quality team this year, but they're starting all the way over if they lose Cousins. It's going to be the same issue that teams like the Vikings have had in the past. You had a lot of other things surrounding you except for a quarterback, and they thought they had it with Bridgewater. We'll see if he comes back. But Bradford can do it now. Maybe Sam Bradford's the next quarterback in Washington. The quarterback just has all the leverage, and a team really can't do much without him. So for them to tag the player as often as he has, it seems to me more like the player doesn't want to be there more than the team doesn't want to pay him.
Right. How often do we see the person that is franchise tagged, even though they're going to get handsomely paid, right? They're going to get handsomely paid as being a franchise, hate it? I mean, it seems like that's the trend we see all the time. They hate it.
Yeah, if the players could probably get rid of one thing in the CBA, it would be the franchise tag, and it's simply because their window of opportunity to cash in and get paid is so small. They really don't have many years where they can maximize their value. And when you look around, I mean, this has become a story every single year. When you get around to free agency in Major League Baseball and in the NBA, these guys are getting like three times as much money as a lot of the stars of the NFL are, and they're not even close to the same, comparatively speaking, the same players within their sports. So to be tagged 1 year is taking 1 year of their prime away. I think that for Bell's example is exactly that. He's really young, but a running back in the NFL doesn't have all that long of a shelf life. Whether or not that's fair or justified, there's going to be somebody that they find in the second round, like Le'Veon Bell, to come in and you know, have a significant amount of touches, make a big impact on an offense. We see it, you know, every 2-3 years. There's a marquee running back taken in the middle rounds, if not even undrafted altogether,
right,
that does really well. Why are they going to pay a running back $12 million? So for Bell, if he doesn't get a 5-year deal at $12 million per year, he's losing out in his mind. And so from the player's perspective, they don't want to have to go year to year with their contract. They want to be able to get guaranteed money up front just to get something out of their careers, because it's fading fast. They don't have a whole lot of time.
Baseball has no cap. And if you sign a 5-year $50 million deal, no matter what happens in the 5 years, whether you hit 100, get cut, something, you still get the $50 million. The NBA has a cap, same thing. You sign a deal, no matter what, you get the money. In the NFL, you sign deals, there's guaranteed money, and then there's money you have to get if you can make the team. Is that in the NFL, they can do guaranteed contracts, but they don't. Is it culture? Is it CBA? What is it as to why the NFL has such a different contract structure on long-term deals compared to baseball and the NBA?
I think the biggest part of it really just comes down to injuries. You're basically within baseball, the interesting comparison is the pitcher. Pitching, you're going to have shoulder problems. You're going to have elbow problems. It's not a natural motion for the body. So the pitchers have the most risk. You know, with football, every single player is like that. So they set it up, you know, ahead of time, a long time ago, in fact, with their salary structures to only guarantee a certain amount of money, and really to kind of hold on to ownership over whether or not other money can be earned by the player. So they can give them, you know, a $15 million salary in 2019, but the player has to be on the team to get it. So they'll just cut them, you know.
Right.
The salary cap is largely structured for a team to be able to do exactly that. So, yeah, there's a lot of dummy money that are in contracts, and they don't get a whole lot of guaranteed money. And the real issue for me is how it's reported. It's always reported as the full value, so you think these guys are getting a lot. If you deflate, you know, kind of the bogus stuff or the unlikely to be earned pieces of somebody's contract, they don't get paid anything. I mean, it's really, really rare, and it really only goes down to the high-end elite quarterbacks that get a lot of money to play football, comparatively speaking. You know, an average NBA player makes way more than an average NFL player does, and the average NBA player plays a lot longer.
Right.
So, you know, for me, if I have a son, he's either swinging a golf club or he's shooting a basketball. Not that it would matter anyway, but if you want to play professionally, that's the way to do it now.
Right.
There's really not much of a point financially in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I mean, and if you want to know what kind of money the NFL is bringing in, all you have to do is check the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers are a public company. Because of that, they have to release the public earnings. I think what was the number I saw the other day, Neil? $244 million? Some
yeah,
number
was,
like that.
Like $250 million, I think, is the headline that I read. That's
yeah.
Profit. You know,
that's a $244 million profit. That they made.
Yep.
Profit.
And it's just unreal the amount of money that they're pulling in. And it's a big part of a lot of that is the revenue sharing deal that they have. That the TV dollars that come in bolster a huge amount of that for every team. So that's what makes the Packers so interesting financially. And everyone, you know, for obvious reasons, gets excited to see their financials, because you're never going to even get a sniff of anybody else's. The Packers are probably one of the more you know, profit-driving teams, but many of those teams aren't going to be too far off, because they do share so much of that revenue, and a huge chunk of that is coming from the TV deals. More than anything, I would just say you're seeing a salary cap increase tremendously each year, and it's all based on the revenue the league is generating. So for the cap to have gone up the way that it has over the last couple seasons, that more than anything shows how much money the owners are truly pulling in. And you know, the players get, I think it's what, a 52% cut of that, and the cap goes proportionally along with those earnings. So it's still, even with, you know, slightly declining ratings and kind of a somewhat spotty future, they're pulling in money hand over fist. They're certainly not, you know, scraping pennies together to eat out. They can do basically whatever they want financially.
Yeah, as last week we did the Forbes most valuable franchises in the world, which is 51 because the Angels were tied with the Saints for 51. When the Jacksonville Jaguars are 42, that tells you everything about the health of this league.
Tells you everything. That's absolutely crazy. Their stadium is two-thirds full each Sunday. Yeah. You know, that's the stuff that they can really generate. And from there, a lot of it just comes into stadium dollars that they don't even pay for. So a lot of that, I'm sure, you know, as soon as the Raiders move, their value is going to go through the roof because they're going to have a brand-new stadium. They get money from that, and they don't have to pay anything out for it. So, you're talking a pretty easy value generator.
Neil, always a pleasure. Sorry to bring you off vacation and into work. Your summer is over.
Yep, it is. It is. It's good to be back, though. I'm excited. It's going to be a fun year.
It's going to be a fun year. Thanks so much for your time, as always, my friend.
Neil Coulong, USA Today. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.